Okay, we're just gonna start. So I'm going to bring up Norman Ota to introduce our next one. So thank you, Norman. Here, you got him, Norman.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, see, I did the same thing.
Sorry. I can't control this thing. Oh, good morning. Yay. Oh, never mind. Okay. I want to introduce someone who now is a member of HAB, recent, and you know, so we have a really valuable resource in our organization who does advocacy. So you guys need to approach him. He's a friendly guy, actually. But a few years ago, I remember I did meet him, and I talked to him about some issue I had, and. You know what was really neat? He was willing to actually listen to me, spout out my problem. and then when I went back to my work, I kind of forgot about that. But he, whenever someone had issues, I would refer them to him. He's on the Hawaii. Hawaii Disability Rights Commission, and he's a disability advocate. So I want to introduce him, Howard Lesser.
No jokes, Art. I'll do the jokes, okay? Good morning. It's still morning. Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Norm, for the introduction. Appreciate that. I know you left out a few bad things about me, but that's good. That's good. Thanks, Natalie. So my name is Howard Lesser, and I'm a proud member of the Hawaii Association of the Blind. Kind of new-ish, but proud nonetheless. And thank you very much for inviting me to present. It's kind of like, you know, speaking in front of your class, right? But so I'm an advocate with the Hawaii Disability Rights Center. Not commission, it's center, and HDRC, or Hard Rock, as the Attorney General calls us. And I've been with the agency for 23 years now. So, been around the block, lived here for 40 years, and I'm also a proud member of, or employee of, Hawaii Disability Rights. Its mission is, thank you, its mission is to protect the human, civil, and legal rights of persons with disabilities, all persons with disabilities. And so, been doing this a long time, and we do a lot of stuff. We've got like 10 different programs. Seems like every year there's another program, but we have the same number of staff. And the same amount of funding. So we try to do the best we can with what we got. And so we do a lot of different advocacy, but our primary responsibility is to protect the legal rights of persons with disabilities. So everybody knows here that they have legal rights, right? Okay, good. All right, that's good to know. Because I want to encourage all of you to exercise your rights. Exercise your legal rights. I mean, that's what we do. I think right now we're in an election year. Let me move the podium or I think I might fall. Okay. We're in an election year. Anybody heard that? We're in an election year. Yeah, once or twice, Don? Yeah? Good. And so everybody here should exercise their right to vote. Now, you have the right not to vote, but we would encourage you to exercise your right to vote. And if you're not, yes, thank you. And if you're not registered, you should be registered, and we can help provide you with information and give you a registration, an application to vote. That presents itself for some of us with some accessibility issues. You're voting an absentee ballot this year, or you can actually go to a facility where you can vote. I would really like to hear, you know, our agency would like to know if you're having any issues, any difficulties with regards to accessibility, because you should know how to vote. Somebody should be able to provide assistance to you. And we have a program for that. It's like one of our 10 programs. And we actually will be going out this year to the polls. There are some, and make sure that they're accessible. Observe to make sure that there are no problems with individuals with disabilities who are voting. And if there are, we want to hear about it.
Are the polls for early voting or on-time voting?
Both early and on-time. And I'm sure Donald being, what, your vice precinct chair now, right? Okay. So you got to watch out for Don. But yeah, so that's one of the programs. And we go all around the community as much as we can, doing outreach wherever we can, involving agencies and for people with disabilities. One large chunk of our services involve special education. And if there are any, I understand there may be a parent or two or three here today. We do a lot of special ed advocacy. I'm an old special ed teacher. Mostly old, but I do a lot of special ed advocacy. And we go to every elementary, middle, and high school for parents who, or legal guardians, or students themselves who want us to participate in their special ed meetings, whether it's Section 504 or IEPs, Individualized Education Program, or just making the student eligible. And we run the gamut from, you know, basically sitting in on a meeting, monitoring how things are going, all the way up to filing for due process, because students do have due process rights. We don't do a lot. We don't do as many as we used to, but we do them. And you need an attorney to do that. A parent can do it, pro se, they call it. But we would recommend that you have an attorney involved in that process, because the AG will try to tear you up. So we do a lot. I would say 40% of all of our time spent is in special ed advocacy. So another area in special ed is transition. I know that there are some people here from the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. Yep, and so there is a section in the IEP in special ed that focuses on transition. So a high priority of our agency is to get involved with transition planning. And as the folks in VR know, you know, we sit at the same IEP, we work together to try to put together a plan for the students so that when they leave school, whether it's at age 18 or age 22, I'll talk about that one later. there are a lot of things that get involved that we that happen once a kid turns 18. And we get calls from parents saying, well, you know, my son or daughter is leaving high school. Can you help us? well, when are they leaving? Well, next week. We're probably going to say no. You know, I mean, transition planning should start at least at age 16, but it could be earlier. So there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on in transition planning, as the folks here in VR know. And so we want to make sure that whether they want to go to secondary, whether they want to go to community college or a four-year college or a specialty area, or they want to go straight to work, their IEP or 504 plan should reflect appropriate goals for transition planning. So that's a lot of what we do. I tell everybody at the end of the school year, I want them to perform an IEP-ectomy on me because I go to so many IEPs, you know. But, you know, we work together with the schools and VR and Developmental Disabilities Division, Department of Health, and Adult Mental Health Division. We want to make sure that the student is registered to vote if they might want to qualify for benefits, whether it's SSI or SSDI with Social Security, that all that is in place, you know, at least by the time they graduate. Now, it used to be the case that a special needs student was required to graduate at age 20. But what my agency found was that in other states, it was older than that, age 22. In Michigan, it was age 25. And so we thought, hey, you know what? It needs to be like other states, you know. And the state of Hawaii said, no, we're gonna stick to our guns, right? In fact, the legislature passed a bill that mandated age 20. So we lost that battle in the state courts. So then we appealed. We took that to the federal court. Federal court said, we agree with the state. You know, it's got to be age 20. So then, and this took about 7 years, by the way, fast forwarding. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals with the three-panel group said, hey, we agree that with Hawaii disability rights. And so that's the reason why a student can stay in school now to age 22. So I'm proud of that. Our staff worked very hard to provide all the information necessary to present to the attorneys. And that's pretty much what advocates do. We present as much information if we need to. Is there a question? Is this 2 minutes? You're kidding me. Okay, all right, I'll try to speed it up. So special ed advocacy, rights to voting, vocational rehabilitation. We have something called a client assistance program where if an individual who's applying for vocational rehabilitation or any community rehabilitation program all the way up to the time they leave that program, we can assist. There's something called PABS. Bless you, Don. There's something called PABS, Protection and Advocacy for Beneficiaries of Social Security. So if you're the recipient of SSI or SSDI, there's something called the Ticket to Work, which establishes employer networks, and we can assist providing information. So we work with individuals with all disabilities, and you have to have a disability to qualify for our services. Assistive technology. There's some legislation this year, state legislation, that is encouraging driverless automobiles, which hopefully that'll be the future in Hawaii. So we go to the legislature and we testify either in support of or against legislation that would benefit, that would impact on persons with disabilities. And my boss does a great job of that, Lou Erdeschick. And if there's a bill that you're looking for, or if you're looking to testify at the legislature but you just don't know how, or you need some help writing a letter of testimony, come to our agency and we'll assist you. Okay? So I could go on, but I better not because I'm getting stink eye here. So, okay. Ready? That's it. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, thank you, Howard. Sorry to cut you off. Howard's been a real, real great asset to HAB. We're running about 10, 15 minutes behind, so we're going to have things pushed up a bit if our speakers don't mind. So I'm going to introduce Amy Monty. Amy? Sorry, he's coming out.
Our next guest is Zosimo Arista. He received his master's at social work at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. In his current position at the Developmental Disabilities Division, or DDD, his primary work is acting as a liaison with the Self-Advocacy Advisory Council, SAAC. So what is the DD Council? The Hawaii State Council on Developmental Disabilities, or DD Council, consists of 28 governor-appointed members that include individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, or IDDs. These are parents, family members, and representatives from the public and private agencies that serve this population. At least 61% of the council, or 17 members, must be a person with IDD or a family member of a person with an IDD. Something that Zosimo wants people to know about the DDD: if people want to see a certain kind of change, like access, equality, or justice, Zosimo is the person to contact with such issues to be brought up during council meetings, as well as letting our legislators know and be more aware of these issues. There are 220 SAC members nationwide. The president is named Timothy Rankin, is attending the convention with Zosimo today. And without further ado, welcome.
Thank you.
I hope I pronounced your name
right. Aloha, good morning. My name is Zosimo, and if that's too hard for you to remember, you can say Aisos Maria Josep, and I would be totally okay with it. My name is Zos, Aisos. And I'm with the Hawaii State Council on Developmental Disabilities. I'm going to call up Timothy Rankin, and he is the president of the Self-Advocacy Advisory Council. And he's going to bring with him some copies of our primary document or information that we have for you. It is for our Braille readers. And if you, by a show of hands, or if the association wants to make the decision who gets the 10 copies, we could print 10 copies of our Braille flyer. So maybe we'll just leave that, or if you guys wanna, we can leave it at the front with Beth. Okay. So Tim, if you could take the copies and leave it with Beth. Beth, if you could wave your hand, that would be awesome. Thank you, Beth. And then after Timothy drops that off, he's going to come up and just say a few words of encouragement and whatever he wants to say. Yeah, I got him running around already. So while he's doing that, the Hawaii State Council on Developmental Disabilities, we meet every 2 months as a council. We are statewide on every island. Maui, Kauai, Molokai, Lanai, Oahu, Ma Kauai on Kauai. We every island would be wrong because we're not on Ni'ihau and we're not on Kaho'olawe where the goats are. So we're on most islands. Okay, come on, Tim. Yeah. May I introduce to you Timothy Rankin, and he is the president of 220 self-advocates statewide. Okay, here he is.
Okay, good morning, everybody. As Zosimo said, or Zos, my name is Timothy Rankin, and I'm the Hawaii Self-Advocacy Advisory Council president. I'm also have other titles, but I'm not gonna even go there. Well, SAC is, like he said, we have 220 members across the state of Hawaii. We're the main crew of this Self-Advocacy Advisory Council. And also we are part of the Developmental Disabilities Council, which I'm the secretary.
Nice, good, yep.
And I'm kind of nervous right now. But being a governor appointed member of the DD Council is not that bad. I'll speed this up. We're here because we want to be in a community with you guys. Yep. Because I think some of you know my mom. She's also blind, and she's also part of the Hawaii Association of the Blind. So she got a lot of braille machines and everything. I don't know how she did it. For some of you, her name is Gloria Rankin, my mother. Stacy knows her really well, and some of you. But I'll just give it back to Zos.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Timothy. So the council, the Developmental Disabilities Council, we do a lot on policy and developing and implementing state plan and all that good stuff that's smart and intellectual, right? We do all that kind of stuff. But our primary teaching point is to empower you, no matter what age you are, no matter what place you are in your life, is to give you the opportunity to say what's important for you and how you want to accomplish that. Now, isn't that kind of what we all want a little bit? Really be honest to ourselves and say, you know, in my mind, I got all these thoughts, and being a person with limited sight or limited vision or a person who's completely blind, I got all these thoughts going on in my mind and I need help. But sometimes we don't say that, right? This, for our agency, is to help you, empower you to speak up, to say what's important to you, and maybe take that to your senator, take that to your representative, and tell him or her that, hey, you know the crosswalk in Wahiawa? It's too short when the lights turn green and the audio starts going, when I gotta get from one side of the street to the other side, it's too fast. I need more time. And maybe we felt something like that, whether it's a crosswalk or what we eat, what we wear, where we live. Some of us eventually might live in a foster home. And in a foster home, you know how much they give you a month to spend on your own personal needs? $50. Only 50. 50. That's all they give you a month to spend on your personal needs. Some of us have a cell phone. The cell phone plan is $35.89. You got like 14 cents, $14 left for the rest of the month. Now, Some of us may not be in that situation. Some of us might eventually. So we as an organization, the Self-Advocates, we're helping to teach our young ones, our mid-range ones, our makua, our parents, and then our kupuna, those who are over 55, which I am on the brink of, to speak up for ourselves and make sure that we're not just being told what to do, how to do, how high to jump, where to go, and what we cannot do. That's our lives oftentimes. Some of us want to volunteer, maybe at the zoo, maybe at the Humane Society, and we're told, oh yeah, we take volunteers, but we don't know if we can let you volunteer here because your sight isn't 100%. Well, yeah, that's totally wrong. What are you thinking? I should be able to volunteer here with no discrimination, right? I should be able to do so. I should be able to earn as much money as a person sitting next to me rather than paying me $2.83 an hour to make apple pies. They call that sub-minimum wage. So we take that to the senators. We take that to the representatives, and we say, discrimination. Why should my physical disability prevent me from earning just as much as a person next to me? I want to be a phone operator at the hotel. Yeah, maybe I cannot see, but I can hear. I can do great things as a phone operator in Hilton Hawaiian Village. Why can't I apply, right? Some of us feel like we want to say that. Or, hey, you know what? I like to talk. Some of us love to talk. I want to work at a radio station. Go work with Augie. Go work with Mento Mele. That's great. I know you got something to say about people who cannot see. I know you got something to say. Work at a radio station. You've become finely attuned to your hearing and to what you can do. Why are we always told what we cannot do? Self-advocacy means let's speak up, let's use our voice, let's do something better. And so we teach our self-advocates to do that. We meet, the self-advocate group, the 220 of us, we meet on a monthly basis in different locations. So if you like know, give you a website, or we give you PEPA, when the meeting going to happen, what time and what day, okay? So if you want that information, we get them, no sked them, we give them to you. State Capitol Legislative Rooms. I have a sheet here that tells you all of the names of the people who are legislators. Okay, so that can be translated. I'm going to leave all these documents or copies of it, I guess, with Beth. Yeah? Okay, he can know. We'll let Beth have all of these copies. And if you have something important to say to Clarence Nishihara because you live in Waipahu and get too many dogs and chickens running around, and when you're trying to walk on the sidewalk, they're nipping at your feet, you're busy, you're trying to concentrate and walk, tell Clarence Nishihara, okay? Some people get... Yeah. Oh, keep them then. Keep them. Okay. So if you want to tell them that, let's keep the chickens. Get rid of the cats. Okay. But see, we all got something to say, right? And so let's express that to our senators and legislators. Some people get very afraid of saying two lines, of saying, you know what, I want my dental benefits. Stop ripping me off. I need my dental benefits. Going to the dentist once a year to clean my teeth, it's not enough. Can you help me change my insurance plan? Because they've put me into a circle and I can't get out of it. That's all I've got. I need more help with my insurance. Those are the kinds of issues that we teach the self-advocates. We also teach them to how to dream, how to have vision. What do you want to do? Not what everybody else is telling you what you can't do, but what do you want to do? So we have this tool, this little paper with a little star on it, fancy schmancy. It's just a tool, okay? It's not something that you have to do, but it gives you an opportunity to put into practical application, this is what I want, this is the technology that's going to help me, these are the people in the community that I think might be able to help me, and then these are the government money stuff that I receive every month called Social Security or SSI or SSD, and it's not much, about $600-something-odd, but I appreciate that, but I'm going to need help finding more help with certain parts of my life. And so this paper that I'm holding up, it's a little star, and each part of the star says, just write down what helps you and what you want in your life. How many of you have already planned for your end-of-life decisions? When you go hospital, and some of us are going already, how many of us already know what the doctor should do if our heart fails, if we go into surgery? Something to think about. That's called the five-star planning process. These are the five things I want people to do, my doctor, my family, my cousin, my relative, whoever it is. I don't want a guardian from the state making my decisions. I want somebody to support me. That's called supported decision making. How many of us are always told what to do and how long to do it and what you cannot do? Right? We need to speak up. We need to advocate for ourselves. Some of us even want that right now, right? Yep. Okay, so we also, next thing, we teach the advocates how to write a meeting. When you go dentist, when you go doctor, the doctor's telling us, oh, you need this medication. You need this many milligrams. But when I take the medication, it makes me loopy, roopy, boopy. And I cannot think. Can I tell you that I don't want that medication, or can you try something else? How many of us just listen to the doctor when we go to the doctor? Right? Because in Hawaii, we don't tell the doctor what to do, right? We go to the doctor, he's the professional. But what about what's affecting us? Honestly, some people are different with different medications. So we teach the advocates, when you go to the doctor, ask them these questions. What do you want to ask? Not what we want to ask. What do you want to ask? I don't want to be in this wheelchair all my life. I want to have the vision of getting out of the wheelchair, right? That's what we teach them, and how to make decisions, all about me. Okay, the last thing we do, which is not the only thing, is called the Feeling Safe, Being Safe Emergency Program. So we teach people with any kind of disability how to become a teacher, how to respond to the fireman or the policeman when there's earthquake or tsunami, because I live in Ewa Beach, as an example. Where should I go if we get tsunami warning? Somebody pressed the wrong button. Oh, take your finger off the button. Everybody's running. We're going to get bombed. We're going to get attacked nuclear. What are we going to do? So we have this program, not in response to that, but we have a program of teaching other people how to be safe. So if the fireman comes and all the lights and the whistles are going off and I took medication about an hour ago, how am I going to respond to get up and out of the house and to the safe place? Like, not Campbell High School, let's go up to Maukalani in Makakilo. How do I get from my house to there when that is happening? So we put this little magnet thing, put them on the fridge, and then people know how to respond when they come to my house. So we do a lot of different things in the Self-Advocacy Advisory Council and all of its members. Just 2 days ago, we had our Day at the Capitol event. 550 people with disabilities, any kind of disability, families, friends, relatives, support, advocates, we all came down and we gave them senators and legislators that they can go visit. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if you guys came down and said, you know what, I want to go see Clarence Nishihara. I need to go see Clarence Nishihara because that crosswalk is ridiculous in Waipahu. And you come down and you go face to face with Clarence and you said, you know what, be our representative. We need some help to change, right? Whether it's this or we're not earning enough or I want a different job, I get treated like junk on the bus. I need some help. Let me speak up. Self-empowerment, thank you for letting us be here and share our story.
Okay, thank you, Zos. I apologize to Amy. I told her the wrong pronunciation for your name. So, and I get chickens in my neighborhood. Who do I call? I'd like everybody to, can we give a big welcome to Warren Toyama, who is in the room. Yay, Warren, thank you for coming. So, next introducer is our very own president, Mr. Art Cabanilla. All right, give it up. Woo!
Thank you. Okay. Gotta go find the short mic now. Wait. Okay. A little bit taller than Natalie, so gotta raise the mic. Anyway. No. Just pointing out some facts over here. So anyway, as Natalie said, for those of you that don't know yet, Warren Toyama, our founder of HAB, is in the room. He just arrived. So why don't we all give him a hand? Hey, Warren! Did you want to say a couple of words before I bring on our national rep? No? Okay, very good. That's okay. I just thought I'd give you a shot. Anyway, you know, it's been said all morning long already, advocacy. And I think we had a pretty good lineup of the who's and the where's and what you need to know about advocacy or self-empowerment, as our friend Zosh was talking about. So I'm hoping that as you leave today's convention, you will know all of these things and at least have some idea of who to talk to. And if not, you can always come to HAB, Hawaii Association of the Blind, and talk to any one of us, because that's what we like to do. We like to help everybody who's needing that kind of a help. So it's my pleasure to introduce our national rep from the American Council of the Blind. It's a woman that I know for quite some time now. I'm not gonna give numbers because I don't wanna give away my age, but but we're good friends for a long time, and it's my pleasure to, and she just recently moved to Minnesota, and she is the membership coordinator for ACB. And this is one of the reasons why I thought, wow, we gotta bring her to Hawaii. She has to do a little talking with us and sharing with us. And Don said to please keep the noise down to the minimum in the back there, in the back left of the room, if you can. And that'll be appreciated. So, without any further ado, it's my pleasure to introduce to you folks Ms. Cindy Van Winkle from ACB.
Okay. Cindy, I have a lay for you. Oh, boy, another lay.
Yes.
Okay, I'm right
Plenty
here.
Plenty of lays.
Oh,
there
my
you
gosh.
Go.
Oh, my word. Thank you so much.
One.
It is indeed. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let me get the hair out of the way. And all right, the microphone moved a little lower. first of all, thank you so much for having me. Aloha. I will say that this is one of the most welcoming organizations and people ever. And just thank you so much. And I know that I stand between you and lunch. And unfortunately, you know, time has lessened, so I'm going to try and give you a really brief overview of what's going on in the American Council of the Blind. So first thing I want, with the show of hands, so I want to hear this. How many of you are a proud member of the Hawaii Association of the Blind? All right. Again, with the show of hands. How many of you are a proud member of the American Council of the Blind? Every one of you that is a member of HAB is also a member of ACB. And and a lot of times people don't recognize that, but we all have so many reasons to be proud of the national organization of which we are a part of. And so I wanna share with you a couple of things that, I'm gonna try and move this a little bit so I can read my notes too. So in the summer of last year, the American Council of the Blind Board adopted their new mission statement, and I wanted to tell you what that is. It's to create a society without barriers for the blind and visually impaired community through advocacy, public awareness, collaboration, and support. Boy, do I hear a lot of that going on here in Hawaii through all of your agencies and with HAB. So proud of the work you all are doing. We also adopted core values They are integrity and honesty, respect, collaboration, flexibility, initiative. And I will say that as now on staff of ACB, there's a lot of all of that that takes place. It is an honor to work with Eric Bridges as executive director and Dan Spoon as ACB president. They are two of the most empowering human beings I've ever been around. And they allow for so much of this flexibility and initiative to take place. It is not unusual for me to bring an idea before them and for them to say, go for it. Rarely ever, in fact, never, has Eric told me I can't try something in my role as membership services coordinator. Instead, he might say, do you think you really can get that done in that time frame? You might want to slow down a little. But he's never told me no, thank goodness. The other thing that ACB did just recently is adopted a conduct policy. This was done in a time where a lot of things are happening in our world today. We want people to be able to come to our conventions or any program that ACB sponsors and feel safe. And so that conduct policy is something that when anybody attends our convention, conference and convention in the summer or our legislative seminar or any other sponsored event, they have to agree to that conduct policy. Currently, right now, Department of Transportation has regulations for the Air Carrier Accessibility Act around service animals, and they are accepting testimony, and people can write their thoughts about that. So if, you know, this is something that is on your heart, I encourage you to check that out for the Department of Transportation's website and give your comments and read up on it. Guide Dog Users has provided a lot of information around it. We also had our legislative seminar recently, and so hopefully you were able to listen in on ACB Radio if you were not there. We also have every week Clark Rockfall, who started with us last year as Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs, and Claire Stanley, who is our advocacy specialist. They do a podcast every week, an advocacy podcast. Have any of you heard it? Have you not heard Claire and Clark and their advocacy podcast? And if not, you should be listening in. It's amazing. And they provide a lot of information, current events. It's pretty spectacular, and you can get that off of either acb.org or ACB Radio. Speaking of ACB Radio, how many of you listen to ACB Radio? Yay! Oh, my goodness. There are so many things going on ACB Radio. It's been around for close to 20 years, I believe, but recently we are giving it a facelift, and it is really under the new leadership of Debbie Hazelton and Jason. I can't think of his Jason's last name, but they are really working to build ACB Radio as a representation of ACB. And in fact, here in the next week or so, a new program that I am putting together called ACB in Action will be on a monthly show. And this month you can hear about, you'll hear from not only some my presentation at the board of for the board of directors here at the end of February, but we'll hear from the new president of the Washington Council of the Blind, Julie Brannon, and we also hear from representatives from the Braille Revival League, one of our 20 special interest affiliates, which reminds me that is anybody in the room 40 years or younger? If you are, clap your hands. So we want more of you. There's only a few. Uh-oh. So we just named our newest special interest affiliate, ACB Next Generation, which is for members who are 40 years or under. And we want to encourage people to support that special interest affiliate. Within ACB, we have now 20 special interest affiliates. So whether you're young or old, whether you're a student or a teacher, a lawyer, a radio amateur enthusiast, whether you are in the arts, an attorney, a government employee, whether you're a Braille enthusiast, library reader, low vision, guide dog handler, if you're a senior citizen, so aging and vision loss. We have special interest affiliates for you, veterans, vendors. It goes on and on. So there, if you are not a part of one of our special interest affiliates, I want to encourage you to check them out, and you can do that on acb.org. Our newest employee to the ACB family is really not new to ACB at all. He was part of the ACB staff a little over a year ago and has come back now as Director of Development, and that is Anthony Stevens, or Tony Stevens. And in fact, he just started this week, so just on Monday. So hopefully he's going to raise a lot of money for ACB. That's the goal. I started with ACB in June, moved from Washington State to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and have found Minneapolis to actually be very high with recreational opportunities for people who are blind. And so, just as a side note, two of the things, so I love being around people, so I needed to find like my niche, you know, something to do outside of work time, which I'm enjoying my job very much. But so I joined ACB in Minnesota, and then I joined a bowling league, a blind bowling league. So I do that on Saturday mornings. And then on Tuesday nights, I go and shoot audio darts in a blind audio dart league. And I learned of adaptive cycling groups. I hope to go tandem bike riding when the weather permits. So I'm really excited about all of those things. But more importantly, I'm so excited about the work that I have the opportunity to do with ACB, an organization that I've belonged to now for 34 years and have held many roles in leadership within Washington State as well as nationally and as chairs of committees. And just so I'm very passionate about the work of ACB. And so one of the things that I've had the pleasure of doing is getting to know our affiliate leaders. I've done one-on-ones with many of them, one-on-one phone calls, learning about their needs and their ideas. And so one of the things that came out of some of those discussions was that on Wednesdays, we are going to start a hump day happy hour for our presidents of all our affiliates, so that they can get together and just chat and learn from one another, some peer-to-peer sharing. Not recorded, not facilitated, just learn from each other. So I'm really excited about that. It's hard to find a good time for it. We're gonna try this, it's gonna be 5 o'clock Eastern, which now with the change in time this weekend, it will be 11 a.m. for Hawaii time. But I'm hoping that if there's enough interest, we might do two of them so we can, you know, change it up a little. We also have started, it should be starting sometime this month, we are offering Friends of ACB. Friends of ACB is for people who are not quite ready to become a member of ACB, but who would like to show their support or be connected to our fine organization. They'll have an opportunity to sign up on our website and join as a friend of ACB and be connected through our announce only list, receive our fine magazine electronically, and also on occasion receive a phone call to answer any questions and to maybe get them connected to an affiliate in their area or of their choosing. So And that leads me to one of the things that I enacted in October. I started the Posse. So we have a volunteer core group called the Posse. It stands for Providing Outreach Through Sharing Support and Engagement. These are ladies that are making phone calls on behalf of ACB to get people connected to the organization, whether they're lapsed members, they didn't rejoin in the previous year or two, or if they come to our conference and convention, they've applied for a scholarship and maybe didn't win it. We still want to connect them to the organization. And so our posse, three ladies made phone calls about, in the month of January alone, made over 350 phone calls and donated 104 hours, three women, 104 hours in the month of January alone. So I'm always looking for more volunteers. It's about an 8 hour a week commitment. And the skill set I'm looking for is good phone skills, good with Excel, good writing skills, because there's also writing emails. So it's a lot of communication skills wrapped up into this role. And but I knew that when I jumped into my role as membership services coordinator and really wanted to do outreach, because membership is not about just getting dues. It's about connecting with our membership. And to do that, it means more than just an email, more than just a newsletter, more than just one-way communication. It also means picking up the phone. And I'm one person, and I knew I couldn't do it all. So thanks to the Posse, and thanks to Eric and Dan, who supported my crazy idea that is thank goodness working, we're able to do a lot of that. And grateful to have the opportunity to work with some fine committees that support the work of membership, including the Membership Committee and the Leadership Institute Committee and others. So through both the Membership and Leadership Committee, we're providing workshops and leadership training quarterly over the phone. So we don't have to be present to receive that training or attend those seminars. So be sure you're reading your announce only. Hopefully things are being shared on your email list here in Hawaii. And anytime anybody wants to reach out to me personally, pick my brain, get ideas, want help with supporting some sort of training, I am happy to help in any way I can. It's what I love to do. I'm passionate about it. And I'm really excited about the fact that your state is sending students to come to the ACB conference and convention in July. I hope I have opportunity to meet each of them as well. So Art, make sure I do, please. And I look forward to meeting many of you. If I have not met you yet, I want to meet you. But thank you so much for the hospitality. And you know, I don't know how I am doing on time, but I just really appreciate you know, the opportunity to come here. And I, again, will speak to you tonight, and hopefully we'll be able to share more. But don't forget that you're a part of ACB, and ACB is here for you. We have wonderful staff who want to support you individually as well as an organization. Thank you so much for having me here today. You know, one more thing I wanted to say. You know, there's a lot of jokes that go around about coronavirus. And, you know, I'm from Washington, and I have family and friends, people I care deeply about who live in the state, including my daughter, my mother. And I was reading something today about how so many of the victims have become numbers. You know, last night I read that 10 people have died from the coronavirus in the state of Washington. Today already it's at 16. 102 people have been confirmed to have the coronavirus in the state of Washington, and the counties continue to grow where it's being touched. colleges are closing down and people are doing their schooling now via the internet. People, major organizations and companies like Amazon, Facebook, Boeing are asking their employees to work from home if they can. It's a scary time, and I just ask that you keep the people not only in Washington but all over who are being impacted in your thoughts and prayers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Cindy. It's wonderful. Great things for ACB. I look forward to convention this year. With that, you know what time it is? No, it's nap time. Anyway, yes, it is lunchtime. It is in the back of the room. And we will, when are we reconvening, Art? Okay. So turkey wrap, but I meant what time are we gonna come back here?
It says one.
Okay, one. All right. So.
And don't forget, general business is at one.
Okay. General business is at one. It's an opportunity to vote. Okay. He's trying to foist the job on me, but at this point, all he owes me is a white cloth, so I'm out. All right. Have a good lunch. Sorry, Miles is going to bless the food. If we could just, 5 seconds. Or speak back. Yeah. No. Oh.
Where's the? Right here. Okay. All right. Okay, you guys, let's pause for prayer before we partake of the lunch. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for all of our speakers. Lord, we just thank you for what you provide for us today. We ask that you bless the food. Bless this time together, Lord. It is a special time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.